miracle. You are my miracle.
Presented by the good people at the Podbelly Network.
My fellow Americans, we are fortunate to be alive.
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Protect us from the Central University. A study on the why for 290. A study on why it's called democide.
Boom, welcome to episode 124, the second take, because Jacob fucked up the first take.
The second edition.
So this week we are going to be talking about internet killers.
We sure are, Jacob. Wait, should we talk about our sponsors before we do all that?
Yeah, sure, but to introduce you to the topic, maybe these people wouldn't have gone on the rampage that they went on if they had a little bit of caveman coffee in their system. I don't know about you, but like when I don't have my daily fix of coffee, like I feel like a fucking asshole.
I feel fine, but I agree, yeah. I mean, I think caveman coffee is like the top notch. I would say that it is the fucking best coffee on the market. And I'm not just saying that because they sponsor the podcast, but because it is.
Yeah, so it's not none of this fucking 99 cent store Folgers bullshit. No, this is fucking high grade single source coffee straight from the teats of angels.
Fucking some Nicaraguan best shit. Top shelf Nicaraguan. Put some cocoa butter in your coffee. God damn, live a little. It tastes amazing.
Yeah, is that what you're doing?
I'm putting cocoa butter in mine. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, I have the fucking nitro cold brew that I've been drinking all week. And usually I would drink like a whole fucking pot of coffee, or I'd go down to my local fucking corner market and buy like three Bang energy drinks and whatnot. And I just been drinking one of these and I feel fantastic the rest of the day. And what I've been doing as well is anybody that shares our post, anybody that, you know, tells their mamas and their boo-boos too, if you will, like Art likes to say. I've been hooking them up with a free can of Caveman Coffee Nitro Cold Brew, and they've been giving me some positive feedback. So those free gifts are going to expire, and you're going to have to go to Caveman Coffee. And I realize times are tough. The economy is a drizzling shits right now, except, you know, if you're in the 1% like Art over here.
Yeah.
Who's about to buy a dentist office.
Yeah, for no reason. Just so I can skateboard inside of it like a teenager.
Yeah, fucking must be nice to have that kind of fuck you money. But if you don't have fuck you money like Art over here, go to Caveman Coffee and we'll hook you up with 15% off your entire order. That should cover your taxes, that should cover your shipping, and it will give you a little bit of a, you know, extra feria in your wallet, if you will.
It sure will. You know what, we really appreciate it. If you support the podcast, if you want to help us out anyway, if you enjoy the podcast, We would just appreciate it. That's a pretty direct way to help us out. So help a brother out.
Yeah, help a brother out.
We would just want to, honestly, all the money. We just want to put it back into the podcast to try to make the podcast better. So we would appreciate some love back our way, you know, because we got families. We don't always want to be here. Sometimes we want to be out at a Condors game or something, you know.
The Condors game.
Yeah. So sometimes it's like, you know, we sacrifice, you know, time studying and time recording and, you know, all this shit. So, you know,
we want to make it worth it for you guys.
Help us out a little bit, you know, show that you appreciate that we're putting some time into this shit, you know. Yeah.
And you can also go to our official Patreon as well and just donate $1. And what we'll do for the entire month of November is if you send us just $1, we're not being a televangelist here. We're asking you to give 10% of your total income.
Jacob needs a new plane.
Yeah, I need a new plane so I can reach more people with this podcast. But if you give us just $1 for the entire month of November, we will send you hand turkeys.
Oh, I love it.
Hand turkeys. Hand drawn by both Art and myself.
I love that idea so much.
And if you send us $5, you might get a foot turkey.
Oh, I like that.
$5 foot long.
I love that. You know what? You know, speaking of Thanksgiving, I'm so excited for Thanksgiving. Thank you for bringing it up. That's it. That's all I had to say.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Fightback CBD. Please go to fightbackcbd.com. Type in America at checkout. Check out their regular CBD and their lavender infused one for nighttime. I use both. I think they're both great products. You know, I've been down with Fightback CBD since day one, and they've been down with Arn Jacobs since like day two. So that's still pretty good.
Yeah. So God bless those folks. So, with that said, Art, do you want to jump into the topic?
Yeah, man. So this is a topic. I don't know if we recorded this already, but or if we recorded this the second time around. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, so this is a topic. I couldn't find any information from any other podcast. So we're officially the biggest and best podcast that's about to do this topic.
Boom. That's the benefit of listening to Art and Jacob.
Yeah. So have you ever heard of Elliot Rodgers?
I've never heard of Elliot Rodgers. Okay. Sounds like the kid from fucking E.T.
So it's Elliot. The kid from E.T.
Oh, shit.
He grew up. No. So Elliot Rodgers. Let me just give you a quick background on Elliot Rodgers. So Elliot Rodgers was a seemingly normal 22-year-old college student, right?
Okay.
Living in Santa Barbara, California. We pretty close to us, actually. We both been
about
to Santa Barbara.
About 2.5 hours, yeah.
Yeah. I actually, you know, our mutual friend Jenny, her sister went to Santa Barbara College for a while. Oh, actually, wow. I think she went there during the time of this incident, so I should have probably hit her up. I'm surprised I didn't hit her up. It just hit me right now.
Isn't Santa Barbara like Santa Barbara State? Is it? It's not Santa Barbara Business College.
No, it's not Santa Barbara Business. No, it's Santa Barbara University. Yeah, it's a Cal State.
Yeah. It's UC Santa Barbara, right?
UC Santa Barbara.
That's a huge fucking college, right? Because it's right there off of the beach, right?
Yeah. The Gauchos, yeah.
Yeah. The Gauchos.
That's their mascot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know who else went there? Eudira.
Yeah. Shout out to Eudira.
Yeah. She didn't go there during this time. Unless she was like an 8-year senior or something.
Who knows,
but this is back in 2014. So anyways, pretty normal guy, right? I'll tell you what he did, and then I'll tell you, we'll backtrack and go from there.
Ooh, I like
so
it.
Let me tell you what he did. So on one day on May 23rd, 2014, he basically flips out and goes on a killing spree just down the streets of Santa Barbara. So that's what he's known for, but let me tell you how he got there, because I think the how is more important. Go ahead.
So real quick, you said he went on a killing spree down the streets of Santa Barbara. So like outside of the college?
Outside of the college, yes.
And was it like a shooting spree, or did he have like a fucking
this is the part that makes it really interesting.
Oh, okay.
Because it's multiple ways. So he didn't just start shooting. So we'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
So he was a semi-popular YouTube star. Not the biggest guy, you know, but he had his YouTube channel, and it was growing back in 2014.
So he's kind of like Art and Jacob a little bit.
Art and Jacob. Hopefully not too much like Art and Jacob, because he would mostly rant about, you know, having money and being like a good-looking guy, and he would just talk about like...
About not having money or having money?
Having money. Money. He comes from wealth. His dad actually directed the movie Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah. So
yeah, normal teen.
Yeah, so normal teenager. Pretty well-off teenager. He drove like a fancy BMW. He was like just a well-off kind of guy. So that's what his YouTube channel was about bragging about having money and how women should love him because he's like an alpha male or something like that, all this bullshit. And it was just basically this constant YouTube rant every time that he would log on and like talk about how he's the hot shit and why don't women love him. So that was basically the gist of his YouTube channel. So, you know, over the time, because his parents and his grandma would send him money all the time, I think he accumulated $5,000, which he spent $5,000 to buy guns. So he, you know, people were starting to become concerned about him, you know, because he started accumulating guns and having these wild rants on his YouTube channel and feeling like, you know, he constantly, like from an early age, he felt like he couldn't relate to women. He couldn't relate to his peers. He started to post like these kind of, I would say borderline, but actually there were pretty racist rants online about how he hated, you know, Asian people. Like he said, even though he was half Asian himself.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was half white, half Asian. And he eventually writes a manifesto. We'll get to that part. But he would write these like pretty hateful things about like Hispanic people and black people and like how can women date a Hispanic person or a black person and like an Asian people, like white women should be disgusted by Asian people, and like you could tell there was a little bit of self-hatred,
yeah,
from like his like Asian side, mm-hmm. maybe like low confidence because of that or something maybe. Like that. So there was definitely like little hints of that, you know. He really wanted to like downplay his like Asian heritage, so it was kind of fucking weird. Eventually, he starts working on this like 100,000 word manifesto. It was like this massive manifesto that he writes, and sadly it is online, so I don't recommend anyone to read it. But he writes this huge manifesto on. Posted it online. Eventually, it leaks online. He calls it. Let me see. He calls it, and this is how fucking like narcissistic this guy was, because he calls it "My Twisted World: The Story of Elliot Rodgers," which is like already like fucking like look at me. I'm fucking yeah. Elliot. I'm fucking Elliot Rodgers, you man.
He's fucking Italian. The way yeah. Art did it, he fucking had the fucking like the fucking grasp. Yeah,
I'm fucking Elliot. The war on Elliot Rodgers. Well, actually, speaking of the war, he actually, a lot of it, he talks about this, the war on women, and how, like, women are just inferior to men, and they should just mm-hmm. follow men, like, basically, like, really, it's very demeaning, and, like, mm-hmm. all these, like, he's very sexist.
Toxic masculinity is what comes to mind.
Yeah, very toxic masculinity, and, like, you know, it's really sad. We'll get into the discussion part of it later on, but it's just so sad to me, because a lot of the things that he talks about in his manifesto is when he was 13 years old, he used to get bullied by a 10-year-old girl.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, really weird. And actually, it's funny. I'm not going to say any of the victims' names or anything like that. But she actually grows up to be a model. And then,
bully?
Yeah, the bully. She's like a model. She's like a relatively famous model now.
God damn you, Kendall Jenner.
But she was talking about how she doesn't even remember him. Like, she doesn't even know who he is. And, like, he just remembers, like, there being, like, a weird kid in class. And that was it. That's all she remembers of him. And it's, you know, he's one of those guys that, like, really, you could tell he's, like, really chiming in on moments that most people aren't even, like, aware of, you know? Which is kind of, you know, it's fucking weird, because I want to be on the victim side, but there's a little hint of me of, like, we need to be a little more sensitive to, you know, sometimes all of our jokes can hurt someone's feelings. Yeah. And we don't know what someone else is going through. You have the Joker's poster over there. The whole Joker thing is, like, a good example of something like that. You know,
exactly.
We don't know what kind of monster we're building of years and years of tormenting, and we don't know what joke might break, you know, might be the straw that breaks the camel's back kind of thing, you know? So, you know, he goes through this whole thing where he writes this manifesto, and he's, like, really becoming down. He's going down this path of, like, full-on darkness. His parents make him go to the therapist, so he's constantly going to therapists at this point. Eventually, he fucking just snaps. Back to that same date that I was going on, May 23rd, he has this plan that he's going to do it on Halloween night. You know, which brings us to this whole theme of, like,
Remember this, yes.
So he has this plan of, like, I'm going to do this on Halloween night. And eventually he's like, no, there's going to be too many cops out on Halloween night. I'm just going to fucking do it right now.
And the thing about Halloween night in Santa Barbara, that is a huge deal in Santa Barbara. Like, mm-hmm. the whole town celebrates fucking Halloween. It's like almost like if you've ever seen The Grinch, the one with Jim Carrey, where it's just like, you know, the Whoville, like where they're all celebrating like Christmas. Like,
yeah.
Think of that. Like, that's what Santa Barbara looks like, but Halloween time. Like, you could just go from house to house, and like everybody's having a party. I mean, maybe not so much in the retirement communities, but closer to, you know, Santa Barbara, UC Santa Barbara, like it was just a party every fucking 5 feet, you know? And I can imagine, yeah, that would be the time to do something heinous like that.
He wanted to do that on Halloween night. And it's funny you say that, because I actually got arrested in Santa Barbara for partying on 4th of July there. So,
yeah.
Eesh, bad times. But anyways, he posts his most famous YouTube video that same day. But before he does that, he gets a knife, like a butcher's knife, and he like butchers his three roommates, just like slaughters them. And this is a part that actually like really broke my heart, because one of the interviews is with one of his roommates' moms, and it's just really heartbreaking. Like,
I bet, dude.
It's really sad. Like, I was hearing her talk, and it kind of reminded me of my own mom, and I was like, oh, that's so sad. Like, yeah. Hearing someone's, like, you know, voice be in so much pain, like, it was terrible.
And a parent should never have to outlive their child.
It's so terrible. I can't even imagine that. I don't even want to imagine that. But anyways, so at this point, he's like full-on psychopath. Like, apparently he like slaughtered his roommate, the one that shared a room with him, actual room with him, but he had two other roommates like in their apartment. So that one he like slaughters really badly. Like, apparently he like tears him apart, just stabs the other two to death. And then after this, this is the part that's like truly psychotic, because he just goes to Starbucks after this and like chills at Starbucks to get a coffee and like uploads his manifesto, emails it to his parents and his psychologist. And then he just goes and starts working on his next YouTube video. And his next YouTube video is called the Elliot Rodgers Retribution. And at this point, it's still online. Most of this video is still online. So it's just him talking about how women are finally going to get what they deserve, and like blonde women are just sluts and like all this stuff. And he's just basically going to like destroy everyone that ever rejected him. And so he's like, I'm going to go to a sorority right now and like slaughter everyone in a sorority.
God damn.
Which is what he does. So he goes over to a sorority. Actually, let me find out. It's called Alpha Pi. I don't know anything about sororities.
It's like those Greek thing. Yeah.
So he goes to the Alpha Pi sorority, knocks on the door. He's like, apparently he's like banging the door so hard that they're like freaking out. They're like, no, don't answer the door. Like, what the hell's up with that guy? So they don't let him in. Probably the wisest decision of their lives. Mm-hmm. And so he's like pissed off and mad. And it's, you know, it's Santa Barbara. Like you were saying, it's still kind of a party town. It's a Friday night. So he walks down the streets and he sees some girls that are in another sorority, Delta, Delta, Delta.
That sounds like fucking Revenge of the Nerds.
What was the Revenge of the Nerds?
I think it was Delta, Delta or something like that.
Landa, Landa, Landa.
There you go. Yeah.
But yeah, this is Delta, Delta, Delta. And so he sees three of the girls just hanging out outside of like this restaurant or something. And he just shoots them, like all of them, wow, multiple times. And one of the girls actually survived, but two of them were just like killed right away. And he gets in his car, he drives by a coffee shop, just shoots it up. And you can tell he kind of had this kind of planned out, because they're very strategic places that a lot of college students hung out in. Mm-hmm. So he goes to the coffee shop, shoots the coffee shop, goes to a deli, shoots up the deli multiple times. Apparently, you could tell there was somebody in that deli he didn't like. Because that one he spends a little more time
on. Got my fucking sandwich wrong.
Yeah, basically. So he starts shooting up the deli like a fucking madman. And then he gets in his car. And at this point, he just starts gunning down anyone that he sees in the street. So he's just shooting like random women, men. Anytime he sees someone on a bike, he tries to run them over. Eventually, he does see someone on a bike. And he like totally fucking runs them over, killing them on impact. And then at that point, I believe he either shoots himself. The police are kind of like sketch on this part of it. But he does kind of like shoot himself or stab himself. Basically, he dies inside of his car, which is ironic because he would always brag about his car being like the hot shit. Like, and it is a nice car, but it, you know, it's very ironic that that's the way he dies.
It's a very vain way to die as yeah, well.
Definitely. So at this point, let me see. So he kills a total of six people in this whole rampage. He wounds a bunch of people. I didn't write down. Let me see. I didn't write that. Well, 14 people wounded. But the thing that's really shitty about this whole thing, right? That rich retribution video that he uploaded to his YouTube, it starts kind of catching like a lot of views. And this is the part that gets really sick and twisted, because
it's morbid curiosity, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people were like, you know, liking it and sharing it and all this bullshit. Like, the internet, it's a pretty sick place. And so the news is kind of like, should we share this? Should we not? Should we put that as part of it? And if you actually go online, people make like funny versions of the video now. It's kind of shitty. Like, you know, there's some like trolls out there on the internet.
That's like that 4chan, 8chan bullshit. Yeah. You know, like, or it's just like being grotesque and fucking nasty just to be nasty kind of thing. Yeah. Like it's like a one-upsmanship, you know, like a dick measuring contest, who can be the most inappropriate.
Yeah, definitely. No, and the shitty part about it is, so it does get shared on by like big networks, so like MSNBC and like all these other, like CNN, whatever, you know, I don't know who's on Fox News. Fox News
does it. The O'Reilly factor.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Barbara Walters gets like really involved in this shit. Really? Starts talking about this guy, interviews his dad because his dad's like a big celebrity in Hollywood and all this shit. Mm-hmm. The sad part about it, that's not even the end of the story. So in Canada in 2018, what is this guy's name? It's a completely different Alec Meninsha or something like that. I don't know. He has like a weird Armenian name. But it's actually really sad because his classmates didn't even know his name.
Wow.
His classmates would just call him Chewbacca because they were like, he was weird. He looked like Chewbacca. He was really hairy. So he basically rents a van and starts driving it down the streets of Toronto, like killing random people.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah.
And then nobody knew like what the fuck was up with this because he had literally graduated from college like 2 days before this, and then they just see that one tweet that he has on his Twitter, and it says, "The incel rebellion has already begun. We will overthrow the Chads and the Stacys. All hail the supreme gentleman Elliot Rodgers."
Wow.
Yeah, and so like it's pretty shitty because apparently there's like a big movement out there of like taking women's rights to vote like away from them and like,
yeah,
basically being like this like alpha male, like women should just obey everything we say.
That's a big thing like within like the 2016 like election. Like I know we like are really hard like on Trump and Trump supporters and whatnot, and I realize not every Trump supporter is like that, but that was a large counterculture movement, but it is, you know, like we came from 8 years of, you know, progress and whatnot, or progressiveness. And it was kind of like the backlash of that is you're going to have people that are going to take it to the far right extreme, you know, and you're going to have these people that for whatever reason are going to want to do that. Like, oh, let's take away women's right to vote because they feel mm-hmm. like they're getting emasculated and they have to make America great again, you know, kind of thing, where it's just like, oh, it has to go back to where like the only people who were considered people were landowning white men. And like, that's the unfortunate thing. And granted, like most Americans and most people in the world do not think like that, but what the internet has provided us is a way for people to get into, you know, groups and organize.
Yeah.
And share these trains of thought. Because before, you might have maybe one or two people in a city of like 60,000 or 100,000 or whatever, and like, oh, they're just the outcast. They're the small minority of people that think like that. But the internet has provided an avenue for these people to amass their ideas and spread it, just like your individual here.
I agree. I think that it gives a home to people that, you know, used to be the one-off kind of guys, you know, mm-hmm. and like now there's so many one-off kind of guys that like the things that were fringe and they were kind of like, you know, we talk about like things like the alt-right. There was probably like that one guy that we all went to high school with that was like kind of alt-rightish. But then there were probably like 10 other dudes that were kind of like, I kind of agree with him, but if I say it out loud, it might make me look bad. Uh-huh. Well, now with the internet and like the anonymity that it brings, like it's okay to come out and say that weird mm-hmm. shit and like racist shit and like homophobic stuff and like sexist stuff and like,
and it gives them confidence.
Yeah,
and that's the thing.
I agree 100%.
And when the most powerful person in the world subliminally gives you the okay to feel that way, yeah, you're going to have a lot more of these instances.
That's that whole like QAnon bullshit. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh my God.
It's like episode 69 or something like that.
Go listen to find QAnon episode, man. We did a pretty good episode. That was a good episode.
I did a really good John F. Kennedy Jr. Impersonation.
Oh,
so.
I remember that.
Wasn't that good? Because I have no idea how that motherfucker sounds, but I just assume he sounds like a fucking... Hi, yeah. I'm John F. Kennedy.
That's the voice.
Anyways, it's so funny. Like, okay, it's almost like divine that you would pick that topic. Like a lot of things that you were saying within this topic has a lot of similarities with the topic that I picked it myself. So originally, this original topic was these Ukrainian killers that would go around killing folks very brutally and then posting them online. And then I realized a similar podcast to us, Sofa King, on the Podbelly Network had already covered it the month before. And I was like,
bastards.
Yes. And I was like, you know what? I can't, you know, step on their shoes. We'll cover that like 6 months from now. So until then, go to Sofa King Podcast and look up the Djerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjerdjer
That's the cool thing about being in a cool podcast network. Because like, yeah. I'll listen to like them. I'll listen to Kim and Kat. I'll listen to We're Not Sure Yet. By the way, thanks for the shirts. But like every time I listen to one of them, I'm like, God damn, these are such good topics. Like, I'm so glad that we're like part of this family.
Oh, yes. So check the Podbelly Network out. But I got more involved in another topic that, you know, is very internet based. And you said the word incel. And I had no idea what the fuck that meant. And, you know, I had to do my due diligence. I had to use the Googles and find it out, because this is internet slang for involuntary celibate. And basically, to, you know, bridge over Art's topic to mine, is an involuntary celibate is a group of gentlemen, you know, on message boards, you know, like 4chan, 8chan, and Discord and whatnot. You know, they get together, they organize, and they are pissed off at women because they will not sleep with them. And it's a fucking cesspool of fucking toxic masculinity. Like, I was like, fuck, man, these guys are fucking...
Yeah.
Horrible people, like not salt of the earth, like fucking sulfur of the earth kind of people.
Honestly, when I was doing the research on him, because he complains about being a virgin, and like one of the like CNN articles has him as listed as the virgin killer, which I thought was funny. But dude, we talked about on one episode, and I think I brought it up multiple times, where like I was like, I joked that I thought I was going to die a virgin at one point.
We all did, I think. Yeah,
and I'm just like, I'm sure he was just going through that shit, man. That's what Pornhub's for, man.
Yeah.
Just,
And to a very small point, I get it. Like, when you are 13 years old and all of your friends are getting the positive attention from the girls that you like, and maybe the girl you have a crush on is, you know, sneaking off to the bungalows behind the school, you know, to scam with your crush or whatever.
Scam.
You remember scamming?
I remember that. I remember that from, like, 1997, yes.
Yes, I do too. And being heartbroken, like, oh, shit, man. Like, she doesn't like me. Like, I'm never going to lose my virginity. Girls are never going to like me. Fast forward 20 years, gentlemen. It's just, it's time. You'll find the one. I'm about to have a child in February, and I never thought that was going to happen when I was 13 years old. But to the point, you know, with the incels, it's a group of people, like, in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, that are the true 40-year-old virgins who are angry with women, angry that they have the right to vote, angry that they have the right to, you know, freely, you know, make money online, doing whatever they might do. But it's just this pure hatred of women. They still want to have sex with women, but they hate them. And my topic is the murder of 17-year-old Bianca Devins. Now, this murder happened on July 14th, 2019. So it's a very fresh topic.
Pretty close to each other. Both 2014.
No, this is 2019. This happened 3 months ago. So when you look at the original news stories around this time period, you know, they paint the picture of Bianca Devins. And I'm just going to say it straight up. She did not deserve to die. Like, no matter what side of the story you're choosing to follow, what narrative you try to follow, there's no excuse for murdering anybody unless you're the state of California.
Self-defense, I guess.
Yeah, equal force, you know, yeah. If you're in fear for your life or whatnot. But over what we're talking about, because, you know, a girl won't sleep with you, or because she chooses to go scam with your friend behind the bungalows at Noble Elementary instead of yourself because you're overweight and potentially have man boobs at 12 years old. Anyways, too much information on my part. But Bianca Devins, she did not deserve to die. Because of the events that happened. But anyways, Bianca Devins, the media portrays her as an Instagram influencer. Now, Instagram influencer, that term is thrown around so loosely. You know, some websites would say if you have more than 1,000 followers, you are an influencer. Congratulations, Art. Art and Jacob Do America, we're Instagram influencers because we have over 1,000 followers on Instagram.
But it's a lot of those people that, like, you know, they'll wear, like, their Supreme hoodies and, like, they'll get paid, like, you know, like, $20 if you show up wearing this shirt on your Instagram, like, whatever. So a lot of it is they're getting money from, like, basically bullshitting online. Like, a lot of their job is bullshitting online.
Flossing. What's that Hasan Minhaj Netflix show?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name. Something with Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Real Time with Hasan Minhaj.
Took over for Bill Maher. But he has an episode called about that. Like, I think it's called like
Stubborn. Oh, the Hype Beast whole thing?
Yes,
yeah, it's like a Hype Beast thing. Whatever. Yeah.
But anyways, they kind of paint her out to be like this, you know, Instagram influencer and whatnot. And that, you know, she had, you know, thousands of followers that would orbit her. And a lot of them were, you know, incels or, you know, young gentlemen that, you know, just had an internet crush on her. And, you know, she would interact with them, and she was involved with the gaming community, Discord chat group. And it's funny, I have a coworker who has a daughter who's very involved in this culture as well, where she gets on Twitch, you know, and plays games. And then she has like a following of guys that will, you know, buy her stuff. He was even telling me at one point, like, she had a boyfriend in Chicago that would like fly her out there. And
you know what's crazy? Like, that, for people our age, that's probably like super weird. Mm-hmm. But like, people that are younger, like, I had a coworker, he was pretty young, and his girlfriend lived in Canada. Like, yeah. He would just go and like meet her, but everything else is like done online. Like, everything was just like, we just play video games together and like chat all day long.
Yeah, this is the future. We are living in the future right now. And like, even me, like, I like to think like I'm a young person. Like, this was like blowing my mind. Like, I felt like I was fucking Clint Eastwood, like, get off my lawn. Like, what the hell are these kids doing? But anyway, she was involved in that Twitch culture, and, you know, like, she would play games. She would do e-girl things, which is like, I guess you would dress up like anime characters and post YouTube videos, and, you know, guys would send her money and whatnot. But she had like a following of gentlemen that would do this. And like I said, I have a coworker who has a daughter like that, who, like, anything she wants. Oh, she needs a new gaming computer. She's got five guys on deck that will pay for that. You know, she needs a plane ticket to go to Chicago to meet the new boyfriend. Oh, she's got a guy that'll do that. And so it's just this whole culture of like e-girl and kind of guy orbiters kind of thing. Well, anyways, Bianca Devins is from a small city in upstate New York called Utica, New York. Now, if you're a fan of The Office.
Oh, that's one of their branches.
One of their branches ran by that hoe named Karen.
The Utica brand got shut down.
Yeah. See what happens? Mm-hmm. See what happens? Anyways, shout out to The Office, one of the best shows of all time. But anyway, she's from a very small town in Utica. I looked up the population. It was about 60,000 people. And I kind of like to place myself in these situations. Like, okay, yeah, you're from a very small town. We like to think Bakersfield is a very small town. It's damn near 500,000 people, but we consider that a small town compared to like L.A. or New York or whatnot. But Utica in itself is only 60,000 people. So I'm placing, okay, this is something similar to like maybe like a Shafter or a Delano maybe. And I'm thinking like, okay, like, you know, everybody, there's not a lot going on. You know, a lot of people that I look up that would have comments on Utica would be like, yeah, there's really nothing to do. You go down to the drugstore, buy a Coke and just hang out in the parking lot. Like, it's not a lot to do. So yeah, you know, I put myself in this girl's situation. She's 17 years old. She's already graduated high school. You know, hey, you're going to have more fun, you know, talking to people online, you know, putting on, you know, a pink wig and, you know, having guys give you that validation. And she's a very attractive young girl. And I think that's why it got a lot of media attention too, because there's a lot of similarities to a lot of cases like this that don't get the attention because, you know, hey, maybe they're not a cute white girl. They're, you know, a black girl from the hood, or, you know, a Mexican girl, you know, crossing the border. Like, they don't get those attention. But how the media does, it's a cute white girl, so we're going to, you know, give this attention. It's a tragedy, if you will. But anyways, she has a quote-unquote, according to the media at this time, a boyfriend named Brandon Clark, 21 years old. He meets her 2 months previous on Instagram. And I guess the relationship, according to the media at this time, progresses very quickly because the sister describes him as a close family friend, you know, that the mom and dad really liked him and just seemed like an all around pretty cool guy, according to the family. They were shocked that, you know, she would die by the hands of this gentleman. But I thought that was weird as well. You know somebody for 2 months and already people in the family are calling him a close family friend. Like, that kind of struck me as odd.
Yeah.
And so anyways, to fast forward to just the facts here, they drive 5 hours to Brooklyn to watch a Nicole Dahlinganger concert. And I texted you, you know, hey, are you familiar with who Nicole Dahlinganger is? Mm-hmm. And I thought you might have known because she had opened for like Code Orange and whatnot.
But I looked up her music. It was like mostly acoustic and like mm-hmm. I'm surprised. Maybe like in a festival day.
Maybe, yeah.
Because that doesn't sound like they tour together.
Yeah, it doesn't match up, but it kind of made sense as the story goes on. She talks a lot about like depression. I believe like the Dahlinganger, like that's a reference to like a, you know, mental health journal or whatnot. But it's something my mind immediately went to, like, it's cool nowadays to be depressed. It's cool to have like a kind of a mental issue and whatnot. And I guess one of her online handles, Bianca's online handles, was Xanchan. And, you know,
like Xanax.
Xanax, you know, you got like rappers like Lil Xan and whatnot, and Chan, you know, like that's basically like an e-girl lingo or whatnot. But they go, you know, they drive together to see, you know, this Nicole Dahlinganger concert. Well, I guess at the concert, Bianca meets up with another gentleman, another orbiter, if you will, and makes out with him and is holding out hands with him. All the while, Brandon, you know, he's in the corner basically of the concert, just pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And per, you know, chat logs on Discord, you know, that are timestamped, that like, hey, he is super pissed off right now. Like, I don't know, like, what's his problem or whatever. Like, I'm just, you know, having fun with Chad right now. And I can understand to this point Brandon's frustration. Like, we've both been in that situation where we're feeling a girl, like, oh man, we're cool with the sister, we're cool with the parents, like, we're in there, man. Like, if I just keep doing the nice guy thing, like driving her 5 hours to see her favorite concert or whatever, like, I'm in there, man, I'm that guy or whatnot. And but this is where, like, that shit cuts off. Maybe you don't drive her back home. Maybe you make Chad drive her back home the 5 hours or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you go to Taco Bell, you cry about it, you eat your goddamn seven-layer burrito, and you get over it. Like, yeah. You're 21 years old, God, for Christ's sake. You got the rest of your life to live for, you know?
Yeah.
But anyways, a couple hours later, Brandon starts posting pictures to his Instagram stories, to his Instagram, to his Discord channel, you know, just really disturbing things, like, you know, quotes, you know, from songs, like emo quotes, and like, hell is awaiting for me. And then he even changes like his online handle to, you know, his date of birth to his date of death, which was that date, you know, July 14th, 2019. And then he starts posting more disturbing pictures to Discord and to, you know, 4chan and to Instagram itself. Saying, I'm sorry, Bianca, and showing a picture of what appears to be her almost decapitated head.
Oh, my God.
Like, just, like, I didn't look up the pictures, but, like, when you would watch, like, the YouTube, you know, videos on it, like, it was, like, a very, like, just, like, brutal, like, slash mark across her throat. Like, you could still see this with, like, the blurry photos and whatnot. And a lot of, like, his followers, because, I mean, he had followers as well, more modest than hers, were, like, is this real? Is this a joke? Because I follow Claudia Gadeja, the MMA fighter, and a couple of weeks ago she posted a picture like, oh, I had a training accident, and it looks like her foot is like halfway, like broke off or whatever, and it looks super real. And, you know, in this world of, like, you know, they were very, you know, active, like in 4chan and 8chan, that's all like that is. It's like a bunch of like who can outgross who. So they didn't know if they, like, he was playing around and they were just, you know, messing with makeup or whatnot. Like, they're just having fun in New York. And so a lot of people are like, well, that's weird, but that looks too real. Like, that looks too weird. And then he would put another picture up that said, sorry, fuckers, you're going to have to find somebody else to orbit. And it was, you know, her bloodied corpse. And so it's about this time that, you know, those online friends were like, hey, we got to, you know, alert the authorities to this. And so they started taking screenshots, you know, and forwarding it to, you know, the respective police departments. And those pictures stayed on Instagram, these brutal ass pictures, to the story and to the actual just like general Instagram feed itself, from 12 midnight around that date. July 13th all the way through to July 14th around 4:50 p.m. So you're looking at, fuck, like 14 hours of just like these brutal, like, rotten.com pictures of a fucking, you know, brutally murdered 17-year-old. And a lot of people's frustration with this is like, where was Instagram at? You know, like, they're so quick to take down pictures of, you know, if somebody shows nipple or something like that, or
yeah,
one thing I saw. Well,
somebody has to report it.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people were reporting it, and I was trying to look at both sides of it. I was like, okay, well, maybe they We're trying to take it down, but because this thing, I guess, caught like on like wildfire. Like there was a hashtag called RIP Bianca, and people were just like reposting it. And then, you know, that would get taken down. And then somebody else would make another hashtag, Bianca Forever or something like that. And then they would post that picture all in an attempt, like you were talking about with the copycatters with the YouTube videos and whatnot, you know, making the parody videos of the manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, creating just accounts just to gain followers. If I can get 8,000 followers on this account on, you know, let's say the Art and Jacob Do America podcast, if I can get up to 8,000 followers, I will send you the screenshot picture of her dead corpse and whatnot, just in an attempt to gain followers.
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a like the Reddit community or 4chan community. Like, you know, you can karma someone, like give them positive karma, and the you know, if it's a picture of a dead body, like the picture becomes more popular online, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like same thing with like, you know, other formats. So like I could see like people using that as like, oh, I'm gonna become more popular because I have this picture,
because it becomes a hot commodity. Quote unquote. So anyways, authorities are sent to Brandon's house, and I guess he, you know, was posting actively, like posting other pictures to his account. Like, you know, he started self-harming himself. Like he was slashing his arms, like he was poking him, he was stabbing himself in the neck. And when cops got to him, he was standing over a green tarp. And when cops, you know, went to move in, he started trying to slash his throat. And as he's doing it, he's posting selfies of himself to his account on Instagram of him trying to commit suicide. And under that green tarp was Bianca's dead body. And he's, you know, posting all these things like, I never meant to hurt you and whatnot, but still posting, you know, documenting this on his social media. Unfortunately, Brandon survives. I mean, the asshole, you know, should have fucking bled out, but he survives. The authorities take him to the hospital. And then he goes to jail after he gets out and pleads not guilty. Now, this is where the story is kind of fucked up. You were talking about like the incels and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people online, and by people I mean men, those incels, they were talking about, oh, she deserved it. She was nothing but a hoe.
Yeah, that's like a whole movement right now. Yeah.
And, you know, because the media at this time in July, like a lot of articles that you would see are, you know, like I said, painting her as like this all-American, you know, wholesome girl. Like she wanted to go to college the following year and, you know, work with mental health patients because she struggled with her own mental health and whatnot. And then just painted like this whole separate narrative on their own. And then you had like all the feminist websites were like, this is a classic case of, you know, toxic masculinity and asserting power. And this is, you know, why women are afraid to say no to men is because of this situation. And I guess like the on the other side of it, like I guess you could say the far right side of it, you had all these incels, I guess you could say, saying like, hey, you know, she wasn't the all-American girl that you thought she was. You know, what she would do is she would take pictures, nude pictures of herself. She would get into these Discord chats and, you know, she would send nudes to these gentlemen. And then kind of like the show Euphoria. I don't know if you've seen that on HBO yet, but it was very similar to this. I'm not sure which one came first, but would say, hey, I'm 17 years old. You're in possession of child porn. If you don't want me to go to the authorities with my nudes, then you need to send me either cash or drugs. And so I guess a lot of those people, now this is unconfirmed because I could not find any truth to it, but a lot of people were saying that this was what her lifestyle was online. Also saying that she was very promiscuous, like she would obtain these orbiters and like get them to do what she wanted, like I was saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That is shitty behavior, but it's no excuse to say that, oh, she deserved to die and have her body exposed like that online.
I guess like the only thing that sounds shitty at all is the blackmailing part, you know. Mm-hmm. Like she can take nude pictures all she wants, like if that's how she wants to make money, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever, like that's your right as an American to do that. You know, it's illegal to blackmail someone, but at the same time it's like I don't know if there's even proof that she was doing that. So
exactly,
like
I could not find that. But even if, let's say worst case scenario, and maybe it's a little bit of column A and it's somewhere down the middle, just not those extremes, it still does not excuse that. And when you look at the gentleman, Brandon Clark, who, you know, committed this crime, it's weird. Like when he has a hat on, he's a very like, looks like a bro or whatnot. But when he takes that hat off, it's like night and day. He takes it off and he has like, who's the sports guy from like Anchorman who has like the balding hairline? Champ Kind or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like that. Like, and he kind of tries to do like the whole comb over thing and whatnot. And I'm like, it'd be like if you saw like Tom Cruise like have like a comb over like at the end of Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like that. But you can see like, you know, from his posts and whatnot. Like,
and, just and they were dating?
See, and that's the weird thing about that is that in his mind, I believe that he thought they were dating. And I more or less think that like she was just kind of like saw him as a friend because there was no proof of, you know, anything past that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, hey, they were just hanging out. And maybe she was using him for a ride. You know, she's 17-year-old. She doesn't have a car yet. You know, she wanted to go to this Nicole Dahlinger concert 5 hours away. Hey, I have a guy that's willing to take me. Yeah, maybe she's being an asshole and using him or whatnot, you know, playing with his feelings on that. But at the same time, doesn't warrant being murdered for it.
Yeah. I'm surprised the parents were okay with him hanging out with her. So she was 17,
she
right?
was 17 and he was 21.
Oh, okay. So I'm surprised they were like okay with them hanging out. Like, I assume she's still in high school at 17 years old.
I guess because it was July. I guess she just graduated.
Oh, okay. Still kind of weird. Like, just, you know, I don't want to make the parents feel bad, but it's like sometimes you do have to take a little responsibility and be like, hey, you can't be hanging out with these like older guys, at least like not going. But then I don't know what he came across as. You know, he could have came across as just a friend, like a slightly older friend. 21 and 17, I guess that's not too crazy.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, like, she's still a child.
Oh, yeah, know? Definitely.
And he didn't even live in Utica. Like, that's the weird thing. He lived somewhere else. Like, I believe it was called Cicero, New York. And when you do the Google map research on, like, how far away that is, it's about an hour and 45 minutes away. That's like us, like, having, like, a girlfriend in, you know, Burbank or whatnot, or mm-hmm. or fucking Tarzana or something like that, and then us driving every day down there. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, he probably did have a crush on her, and she was probably may have kind of liked him, and he probably felt burnt when he saw that, when he saw like that other dude at the concert making out with him, because here you go, hey, I drove you to this concert 5 hours away. I'm making those trips all the way to see you. Like, you're my girlfriend. You're mine, kind of thing. And
yeah,
it's like one of those instances where it's just like, he's one of those guys. Like, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times.
I think that's kind of something that most guys go through, but they go through it pretty early in their life where like it happens and now you gotta
deal with it.
You have to deal with it, and you have to realize that you can't put yourself in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
I do think one of the things I thought you brought up right now, you brought up that a lot of people do the whole like depression thing to be cool, and I completely agree with you on that. Like, yeah. I think that's really dangerous because I think it's cool to like act like you're depressed and like
every
cool.
song, when I switch out my cars. One car has, you know, the Sirius radio and whatnot. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, I want a break from podcasts. I just want to listen to music, or I want to get reacquainted with music. Every song, it seems like I'm depressed. Like, I can't, like Post Malone, every song he makes is about him, about not being able to get over some girl he fucked. Like,
that's a good example there. Cause like Post Malone, you know, he's a popular singer. And like, I feel like that's what's in right now. It's like, because I think he's like a really shitty artist or musician or whatever, but because I think a lot of that's like really phony. Like,
I agree.
He's a really like regular guy who like sells this whole like I'm depressed. And so many of those rappers and like that whole thing is like
Triple X Tancion or whatever his name is.
That whole thing. And like, it's really, really dangerous because a lot of times, you know, kids, especially when you're going through that like age of like 13 to like 21, 22. You don't know the difference between depression and sadness. And like, people will confuse a breakup, or people will confuse, you know, your parents breaking up or whatever, things that are pretty common. And yes, they are hurtful. And yes, you go through those things. And yes, they can last months of like, of heartache, but that's not what depression is. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of dangerous to make depression cool because you don't know like whose mind, like, or how exact, you know. I feel like the girl, like, she was probably not depressed, but that guy was probably dealing with some real demons, like demons that are not your average type of thing. You know, and like, we haven't really had this conversation, but like, I remember one time I was talking to Eric about this one time, and I remember like I was like, dude, what time are you off work? Like, let's talk about like what would it, what you go through on a day-to-day basis. Cause I really like, there's moments where like you really struggle, and they're like, they're no joke. They're not your Facebook post. They're not some Instagram post. They're not anything like that. They're
the opposite of
that. Yeah. They're very reserved, and they're so reclusive. There's moments that, you know, like that I've been through that only like my girlfriend would see. Like, my family has even seen moments like that where like I'm like literally like I remember I was at a park because my girlfriend wanted to take her nieces to the park, and I was just like at the worst that I'd ever been. And like, I remember just thinking like in my mind, I was like, I can't go another week feeling like this, because it's like, it's the worst. This is the worst feeling, like anxiety and depression hitting you that bad, and like it like feeling like your mind's about to give in. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's very dangerous to like make it cool and like say that, you know, you're part of that cool clique now, because it's, there's nothing cool about it. Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing cool about like waking up with fear every day. Like,
yeah.
So like, I think that teenagers, like, you gotta be careful, man. I know we didn't record this originally, but I had some stupid teenager joke about your body, but you really do. I think a lot of people, our whole culture, like internet culture, is like, needs to like be really careful with like mental health issues, just because, and I don't think all these are mental health issues, because some of this is very like toxic masculinity. And like, when I was doing this research, this thing called rape culture kept popping up, and yeah. I never heard of that before.
Yeah.
But like, rape culture kept going on, and you know, it's really shitty. Like, it make, you know, like, I don't feel shitty. Like, I don't feel responsible because I'm a man, but I do think that it's responsible to like talk to other guys. I think that that's the least you can do, to be like, hey man, like, don't be that guy. Like,
yeah,
you don't have to be that fucking catcalling kind of guy. You know, you don't have to be like, you know, and even if you did when you were younger, it's okay to evolve. It's okay to change as a person, as a man. Like, you know, you're about to bring life into this world, you know? And I'm pretty sure that that's a good way to start, to like, you know, is it a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Even better. So like, you can really like definitely like mold that like young life into like, to be like a, you know, here's
upstanding citizen. Yeah,
here's what I did. Maybe like, if you're like, I fucked up sometimes, and like, learn from my mistakes.
Exactly.
And he'll probably make his own mistakes, because everybody goes through their mistakes. But like, and you gotta let people fucking fall so they get back up. So
Alfred Pennywise, baby.
Yeah. So like, yeah. So like, you know, that's life. But like, I do think that it's important that like, don't try to make depression cool. And then two, like, dude, just men in general need to like, I don't know, that was a whole movement. I just saw it in this guy, but they seem very tied together, that whole like, it's incel thing.
It's a huge thing, because like, I got off like on my rabbit holes, like I always do when we do the topics. And it's like you said, rape culture, like that whole 4chan and 8chan community, like, and that's all it is. It's like, it's a one-upmanship. And it got me thinking, like, okay, when I first got the internet, when I had my 28.8K internet, you know, access or whatnot, like, a lot of stuff that you looked up. Well, the first thing, what was the first website I looked up? Playboy.com, you know, and I didn't go to school the next day, because I was like, oh my God, titties, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the, you know, because you've now graduated from watching, you know, Scramble Vision on Channel 99, you know, to this, like, oh my God, like, I don't have to wait 5 seconds for a boob. And then it progresses from that to where it's just like, oh shoot, I can download videos. Yeah, it's going to take all day because it's 28K internet.
Yeah.
But then broadband internet comes, you know, you get sites like rotten.com, where it's like, oh, you want to see a dead body? Like that famous quote from Boys in the Hood, where it's like, oh wow, that's crazy. Like, and you're with your friends or whatnot. And then you're like, well shit, let me see, you know, snuff videos. Then you get like a Serbian film. And it's just like that culture is just like those kids. Like, I remember in high school, like, there was like a limit for me, like, all right, like, I'm done with that. Like, I don't need to see any more like crazy shit like that. I'm done. Like, can we watch fucking The Lion King or Aladdin? Cause like, I need to rejoin my childhood at this point, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, like, that's wrong. And I feel like there's kids though, and especially like the whole subculture, that is just like, okay, I need more of it. It's kind of like a drug, like a dopamine rush, where it's just like, oh, that's intense. And then sooner or later they get jaded to that, you know, where it's just like, I might get grossed out by seeing ISIS decapitate somebody, but that's like, oh man, I've seen worse than that. And we all know a guy like that.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I think when we were younger, like Jerry Springer and like television was the big like devil, you know, when we were younger, like don't watch Jerry Springer and Marilyn Manson and all this stuff. And like,
yeah,
like that's so tame by today's standards. And like, you know, you're talking about when you got internet, but you were, your brain was already kind of developed at that point. You were getting to the point where you were probably like going into high school and like hitting puberty and like, you know, like it was a little later in the game. Like there's kids that are like in fucking elementary school that are like,
yeah,
watching like some fucking like dark web kind of shit. They're on like onion sites and all this shit. And like, and like, it's just kind of like, you know, that's way crazier than like anything Jerry Springer ever had on, you know?
Yeah.
So like,
way crazier.
Yeah. So it's just like, I think we need to, just as a culture, it's like, we got to really ask ourselves, like, is this internet really helping us? I mean, it's kind of helping us sometimes, but it's kind of like hurting our youth. And like, you know, mental health issues are like no joke. You know, that movie, The Joker, I'm really glad you have it up there, because like, it really,
one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's really good. And then he has that line, you know, that pretty famous line now about like mental illness, where like the funny thing about mental illness is that everyone expects you to act like you don't have one. And it's kind of true. Cause it's like, and I feel like that's really perfect. Cause it's like somebody that actually like tends to have those like mental illnesses, rarely will they ever really talk about it. Or rarely will
Correct.
Like it's the hidden like thing that you want to be there for your family. Like you want this, it's so bad, and you just can't have it. As opposed to goth girl taking selfie, like feeling so sad.
Yeah.
Cheer me up. Like that's not depression. That's attention seeking.
Yeah.
But
kind of reminds me like the early 90s. Remember like when it was fashionable to be like heroin chic, like to look like a, like, remember Kate Moss? Like she would look
no,
like,
no, but like, you mean like Kurt Cobain, like that whole thing? Or,
well, not so much Kurt Cobain, but like it was like fashionable, like heroin was like the end drug, and like all the high fashion was geared toward looking like you were a heroin addict. And like that was like a big thing, like in like the early to mid 90s. Like even like music reflected it. Like there was genuine music that was like, hey, like I'm dealing with some shit right now, and you know, this is just like Kurt Cobain, you know. And like it was genuine music. But then you had the copycats of it, like, well, I guess it's cool to look like a heroin addict or to talk about, you know, being, you know, strung out or whatever, even though like I came from a good family and whatnot, everything's good. Like you saw that, like it, everything comes like in cycles, but I feel like the internet amplifies everything.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a pretty dangerous place to be, because it's like the anonymity of it is creates a whole new devil,
a whole new life of itself. And then you said that too, like about how like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna have a kid in February, and it's just like the whole time I was thinking like about stuff like this, like, man, not that it would matter if it was a boy or a girl, not like, oh, I want a little boy so I can throw the football around, it wasn't anything like that, but like I literally worry for, you know, females, you know, future females or whatever, you know, having to deal with males, you know, because I would have been that parent that would have been like putting a GPS tracker, like if I had a girl,
yeah,
or just hoping like, fuck, I hope like she's like Arya from Game of Thrones, where like she can kill the goddamn Night King or whatever, you know. It's just like, spoiler alert, but it's just like, it's one of those things like, man, that's gonna be a whole new stress on its own. And it's just like, when I found out I was a boy, it was just like, you hit the nail on the head. It's just like, I can teach him how not to be that way and influence people to be positive in being, you know, a great member of society.
It's tough. I mean, both of them are tough, because it's like, I think it's really difficult to like raise a good human being. And I think like most people, like you almost just have to get a little bit lucky. Like you just have to hope that their friends are equally like their friends' parents are equally as influential in their lives. Cause it could just be that one fucking bad seed that's like,
yeah,
well, let's go do this bad deed and like take him down that wrong path. And it's like, unfortunately, I would say that's probably like 60-70% of guys are go down that path, where it's like they're still kind of decent dudes, but like even guys that I know have done like shady shit that I'm like really ashamed to call them friends, to the point where I don't call some of them friends anymore, just because I'm like, that's really shitty. Like, as somebody that was pretty much raised by a mom, two older sisters, and I have a niece now, like, very like female influence in my life, that's like, I don't condone any of that shit. I don't consider people that do like shady shit like that to be friends. So like, they're, you know, and I don't think that being young and dumb is an excuse. Like,
yeah.
So like, yeah, I guess some things are excusable. Like, there's times where like, I'm drunk and like I tried kissing a girl and she kind of like, I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh, I feel like a douche now. Whatever, yeah. I better go. Like, there's been moments like that, but there's like, you got to know when to stop. Like, okay, I'm, oh, sorry, I feel like a douche now. I better go. I just go. Yeah. Like, that's it. You just got to go. Like,
yeah.
No means no. Like, yeah. Shout out to Alice Bag for No Means No. That's a great song.
It's funny, like, that same coworker I was telling you that has a daughter that does like gaming stuff like that online. We were talking about like the same thing where we were talking about like, yeah, when we were younger, we all did dumb shit. Like, this was her dumb shit by having, you know, orbiters and, you know, using that. Like, that's, he goes, yeah, you're right. Like, she shouldn't have died, but that's the Russian roulette that you play. He goes, he told me a story about when he was younger, like some of the dumb shit he was doing. I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, when I was a kid, you know, I was raised, you know, with good morals and, you know, precautionary, you know, and like, wasn't allowed to go out a lot. But when I turned 18, oh shit, the first batch of bad seed friends, like, yeah, I was hanging out with them. And I told them the story of me. We went what's called car surfing. And I said, stupid me, like, just not thinking, just trying to be cool. And, you know, speaking about toxic masculinity, where it's just like, hey, like, if you don't do this, you're a pussy. Like, you can't drive in the cool car with us. Like, you have to go in the loser car if you don't fucking go car surfing. But basically, yeah, it was like mid-January. It just rained the night before. We're out, you know, by morning drive, you know, in the middle of nowhere where it's just like one super long slick road. And basically what car surfing is like you grab, you know, the roof of the car and you hold on to the windows, like the opening of the windows, and whoever's driving just gradually goes faster and faster and faster. Well, everybody went, including my stupid ass. And I think I actually like wake up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking like, oh shit, like if he would have hit the brakes too hard, I could have flew off and he could have ran me over, you know, just like the gentleman in your first story. And like, fuck, like that would have been one fucked up way to die. And I was telling him, I was like, the fucking weird part about that is like we all went car surfing and everybody that went car surfing, fucking nothing happened to us. Everybody was fine. We got to go in the cool car to go to Jack in the Box.
And that's just luck, dude, to be completely honest with you.
But the second part of that story is the two people who didn't go car surfing, they got in a really fucked up car accident where one person got their leg, you know, completely shattered and one like broke their back, you know, because they were fucking trying to make up for not going car surfing because they were trying to race us back to Jack in the Box. And they flipped their car like six times. And it's just like, God damn. Even when you try to do the right thing, it's just like, yeah, that culture of toxic masculinity is going to creep its head in because all guys are going to have that stupid ass ego where it's just like, yeah, I got to be, you know, in the cool crowd, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. Like, that's the luck of the draw. Like, dude, there's so many times, especially in high school, when like I would go out to like the middle of nowhere to like drink two beers with my two like Coors Light to try to be cool or whatever. And like, I, you know, there's so many times that like I knew other people that like drove home drunk and would get into car accidents. I never did, like, knock on wood. Never get in an accident that bad. But like, there's so many moments that like I could have, like, that could have been me. That could have easily been me. Like, yeah, that so many times that I could have been in like these terrible car accidents, yeah, bad situations where like I've just gotten lucky.
And my coworker pointed out another good thing too, speaking of that, is just like, it's that air of invincibility when you're young. Like, you think, oh, that'll never happen to me. And he goes, I bet you that's what she was thinking. She said, you know, she's got guys sending her money. He goes, just like my daughter. It's just like, nothing bad's going to happen. You know, I'm untouchable. I have all the power. I really want you to watch Euphoria because there's a character on there that goes through the same thing where she's like, I have the power now. I have the destiny. And the unfortunate thing is like, no, life holds your destiny. Like, you never have absolute power.
Every moment, like, just getting in your car and going to work, yeah, is fucking Russian roulette. You don't know. You have no idea.
Yeah,
like it's that's life. But at the same time, it's like, it's kind of shitty. Like, I hate to have to hear that, you know, a woman, you know, even 17-year-old has to like look out for like fucking weirdos that are like becoming obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of a shitty world to live in as well. Like, that's, you know, let's say she was going, like, doing that shit where she was blackmailing, like, even then, it's like, it doesn't deserve the death penalty. No,
yeah,
like,
you don't, yeah.
It's just, it's so shitty. Like, I think it says more about, like, yeah, be careful. Like, obviously, lock your doors. And I mean that, like, in a metaphorical kind of way, like, in every mm-hmm. aspect, like, you got to lock your doors and look twice before you cross the street kind of thing. And like, maybe don't post so much personal shit online. And, like, maybe don't, like, you know, be so present online. Like, the internet, man, that shit is, like, the devil's playground. Like,
yeah.
I suggest everyone just take a week break away
from it. And I hate to sound like our parents, like, when we're talking about, like, oh, don't watch cable television. Like, there was a time where, like, I wasn't allowed, Keith and I, we weren't allowed to watch MTV because it was like, oh, the devil's going to creep in and, you know, influence you badly. And I kind of feel like maybe that's us now. But at the same time, it's like the internet is so much scarier. Like, we talked about it last episode where it's just like, yeah, you know, there's, you know, movies that are, you're freaky or whatever, but what scares me is, like, real life situations. And the internet, the scariest topic we've ever covered is the dark web. And that's because that's real life shit, and it's fucking extreme shit, and it really happens, you know? And that's, these two cases right here couldn't be more perfect for the cap of our Halloween spooktacular month. Yeah,
it's probably the scariest one. This is the first time it ever, like, really hit when one of the roommates' moms did the interview and she was like crying. It like really like fucking mm-hmm. brought me to like, dang, that's fucking sad, dude.
It reminds me, yeah, when you were saying that, it reminds me when like Trent Reznor met Sharon Tate's sister, where mm-hmm. it's just like, fuck, what if that was my sister?
Yeah.
And I got the fucking door in my studio.
Yeah. Oof, yeah. Tough, man.
Anyways, we've
you got anything else? We got,
I don't know. How do we transition into this? Because this is a comedy podcast. Art,
we didn't do a lot of jokes this time, but it was, you know, if you learned anything today, let us know. Shout out Elizabeth Jackman. Shout out Elizabeth Warren. Shout out Fight Back CBD. Go to fightbackcbd.com. Type in America at checkout. But really go to cavemancoffee.com. Please go to cavemancoffee.com. They are our main sponsor. They are our lubbers in the bed and... Just help us out, please. Go to cavemancoffee.com, type in America at checkout to receive 15% off.
That's fucking generous as
that
shit.
That is, dude. Very generous. You know, it helps us directly. So, not enough of you motherfuckers have been doing that shit.
And if you want to as well, if you don't want to purchase coffee, if you're one of those people, like the people at my job for some weird reason who don't like to drink coffee, just go to our Patreon and, you know, donate $1. This all helps to making this podcast better, better sound quality, better video. Hey, shoot, we might even move into our own studio, get our own producer. Maybe we might even hire you to be a part of this podcast. So think about that. Just $1. That's all it takes.
Maybe we might move into a dentist's office.
Dude, that'd be awesome. But until then, keep supporting us on, you know, all podcast platforms. Subscribe, like, rate, review, whatever the fuck you got to do to spread the good word of our Art and Jacob Do America. Go to our Instagram and all social media at Art and Jacob Do America. Except for Instagram, we are at Art and Jacob Do A1. So think of Pornhub plus steak sauce plus arts.
Yeah.
Doing things. To an empty or quasi-empty A1 bottle. So, and then check out our website, artandjacob.podbean.com. You'll find every single episode there, as well as blogs from Keith Silvis there.
Ooh, shout out to Keith Silvis, man.
Doing the Lord's work.
Doing the Lord's work. Yeah. And check out Sabrina's Adventures on Netflix. It's a pretty good show.
Is that this a teenage witch show?
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen the first two seasons.
Oh, you have? Okay, yeah. I just started watching it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Should have told me about it. I really like it.
Oh, okay.
I'm only 3 episodes in.
Real quick, you got to check out Euphoria because of this episode. You also got to check out the Righteous Gemstones, also on HBO.
Dude,
as well.
I'm just starting this right now. I still got to finish the second season of Westworld, and I got to start The Watchmen. So, like,
I gotta watch that too as well.
So I'm a little bit behind on my shows, but I'll get there.
But until then, everybody, have a happy Halloween. Check your candy. Let's not get involved in incel culture. Let's kiss our moms and walk old ladies across the street. Be gentlemen, goddammit.
Just be a good person in general. Like, don't fucking do that toxic masculinity bullshit. Pounding your chest and trying to be badass or whatever. I don't know. It's sad. It's such a sad thing.
Yeah, it's scary, man. It's the real world we live in. 2019, about to be 2020.
Ooh, hindsight's 2020. All right, guys.
We out.
Good night.